Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina as we have entered a great day to be alive and standing for the Lord's will for not only this nation, but for the destiny of other nations as well, as we stand and pray for the Office of the President so that souls can be saved. And I'll get to the news here in a second. I think everybody knows where we're going. With the events that have happened through the night, as we have, as a team here, been in contact with people in Eastern Europe about the situation that's happening in Russia and Ukraine. But first, I want to start off in the Word. This is ever important now and in the days ahead. And I titled today's podcast of Shifting Perspectives, and even in this season of increasing darkness, increasing the same spirits of that Hitler had of communist overreach, government overreach. Right now, we have to focus on what the Lord not only is providing, but is going to provide in the future, of the hope of the words, of getting back to what this nation is founded for, of the destiny of being a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And I want to start in Exodus 16, as the Israelites are coming out of Egypt and in the wilderness, and they're grumbling and moaning and complaining about things. I want to give us a perspective here of what the Lord did for the Israelites and what he can do for us, not only now, but in the season ahead. And it starts in chapter 16, verse 7. And it says, in the morning, again, getting in right alignment with what the Lord has of reordering our day, getting our souls in line with the timing and the will of the Lord for our nation, for the time, and for the Israelites at that time. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, and he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us? He says. And Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, timing of the Lord, and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against. Hold on, it's blocking me. Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. Sorry, it's hard to see that. And so, in verse 13, so it came about at evening that the quails came and covered up the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp for the bread. In verse 21, they gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat, but when the sun grew hot, it would melt. And so even in these perilous times for the Israelites, God still provided for them even when they grumbled. And what we need to stay focused on is knowing that no matter what the situation, despite our own miscoming circumstances, mishaps, the Lord will still provide for us. And the prayer focus on this day is that we ask the Lord to remove murmuring and complaining from us, thank him for all his provisions, and declare that when the day breaks, a new increase will begin to come to you. And as we shift our perspective from just focusing on the negative of what we possibly don't have, being ungrateful, is shift towards being grateful for what the Lord has, having this attitude of gratitude for being able to be alive in this time, to stand up for freedom, to stand up so that you know, we can right the wrongs of the past and even go further and build on the things that were done right in the past. No one's perfect. All sin and fall short of the glory of God, as Romans tells us. So we don't want to sit back and shift blame on past generations. It's, hey, let's build upon what they've done. Is they took what they knew and they ran with it. Let's take and let's build upon what they knew. And that takes learning some things and studying and being at peace with ourselves. And not just complaining about, oh, we don't have this. Oh, we don't have that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying everyone here is doing that, but as we see here in scriptures, even the Israelites were doing that. And God yet still provided meat when they asked for it and grumbled, and then continued to provide the manna, the word that they needed to be able to live through that season and survive. As they went into this new promised land that the Lord had promised them, from even generations past at this point in their timeline. Okay, so now I want to dive into the news. So we obviously know that if you heard, read anything, that it has now been confirmed from several sources that Russian troops are now on Ukrainian soil, as Prime Minister Putin said, as peace keeping mission. Very interesting. And I'll put a lot of links up later. I would be shifting a lot. So I just want to go through this of what happened the past couple of weeks. Is of the disputed regions on the eastern portion of Ukraine, they supposedly want their own independence. Russia put a law through their parliament, got it signed by Putin yesterday. And this is what Putin is saying, is declaring as, well, this is why we're going as peacekeeping regions, because supposedly Ukrainians are causing problems, even though there was no verifiable evidence for that. There was verifiable evidence for Russian separatists causing harm, shooting rockets off at schools, et cetera, like that. President Vladimir Zelensky spoke about this several times. He even went there, saw this, was able to walk there. There wasn't this disputed Ukraine army there causing problems. They were there on their side of the line, protecting their country, their sovereignty. And so with this, if you remember what we talked about yesterday, the Russian ambassador to the U.S. said that Lavrov said that Russia is only occupying Russian territory. And so now you're seeing where Russia has claimed these two territories as independent, as part of Russia. Now they're going in as peacekeeping missions. This is the same thing they did with Crimea. There was war then. People died. But now they're going to go in and take back what Putin deems as Russian land. Now, with all that being said, you have the NATO, EU deciding what to do. The U.S. has put sanctions on anybody doing business in those regions with Russia. Supposedly, Germany has halted, confirmed by the Wall Street Journal, the forward movement progress of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is very interesting because they're heavily dependent upon that once it goes into operation, as they receive most of their energy resources from Russia. So it's a lot of moving pieces here. Putin is also deciding how far he wants to take this. But I want to read a few excerpts from Putin's actual speech. It was a very long speech. But at the beginning, he outlines the reason of why he wants to go back after these countries. And this is very, very alarming of the reasoning as to why he says these things. So I'm going to pull this up. This is from the Kremlin.ru. It's the English version. I don't speak Russian. And he goes about saying, my address concerns the events of Ukraine and why it is important for us. For Russia, of course, my message is also addressed to our compatriots in Ukraine. And he goes to say the situation in Donbas has reached a critical acute stage. And then he goes, I would like to emphasize again that Ukraine is not just a neighboring country for us. It is an alienable part of our own history, culture, and spiritual space. These are our comrades, those dearest to us, not only colleagues, friends, and people who have once served together, but also relatives, people bound by blood, by family ties. Since time immemorial, the people living in the southwest of what has historically been Russian land have called themselves Russian and Orthodox Christians. This was the case before the 17th century, when a portion of this territory rejoined the Russian state and after. It seems to us that, generally speaking, we all know these facts. This is common knowledge. Still, it is necessary to say at least a few words about the history of this issue in order to understand what is happening today, to explain the motives behind Russia's actions and what we aim to achieve. This next paragraph is ever important, shows the darkness behind what is happening. He says, so I will start with the fact that modern Ukraine was supposedly entirely created by Russia, or to be more precise, by Bolshevik communist Russia. This process started particularly right after the 1917 revolution, and Lenin and his associates did it in a way that was extremely harsh on Russia by severing what is historically Russian land. Nobody asked the millions of people living there what they thought. And it's very important. His own statements is contradictory to what he is doing right now, because nobody is asking the Ukrainians what they want. Russia's doing what it wants. NATO, US, and other nations are doing what they want. And yet, what is Ukraine doing? What does Ukraine want? And in a lot of these regions, what Russia is okay with is allowing them to, quote unquote, become independent. Russia put in their proxy people to control and rule the region. And what happened in Ukraine? That happened for such a long time, but then the corruption was exposed, the corruption was removed, and righteousness, to a degree, was put back in its place. And now you see for 8 years, Ukraine standing up for itself, standing up and saying, we want our own sovereignty. They speak their own language. Yes, there are ties. A lot of them are very closely related to Russians, but the idea that this is because of the Bolsheviks. He goes on to talk about how, well, when Ukraine was created, it was really given parts of Poland and other states. And he continues to talk about the Bolshevik communist revolution. We got to get back to that. We got to get back to what the nation was, blaming Lenin, blaming Stalin, blaming for giving up lands, for not doing it right, saying, I can do it better. We need to go back and resolve these disputes of what made us become the great power nation of the world. Talking about how supposedly Ukraine and Russia have their missiles that could cause harm to blah, 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 whatever. So he goes on and on and on and says all these things. Very, very alarming. And now the question is, what does the rest of the world do? The interesting thing about what Russia wants, and even NATO and European allies are talking about, U.S. involved, is a Minsk agreement from 2014 to 2015 that basically does what Russia wants. Doesn't do what Ukraine wants. And we've talked about, we've looked at this 1994 Budapest Memorandum, which no world leaders are talking about, hardly any no publications are even talking about this at all, about the realities of you made this agreement in 1994 when the nations and everybody were divided up on Ukraine, creating the sovereignty of Ukraine, saying you wouldn't do what you're doing right now. They've gone back on it. They've continued to go back on it. And Ukraine's pretty much fed up with it at this point. But I want to read a portion of a speech from this weekend by the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky. And he talked about the very thing that I mentioned here, and that's why I said it, is he said in his speech, it's portion of it I want to read. He said, "We will defend our land with or without the support of partners. Whether they give us hundreds of modern weapons or 5,000 helmets, we appreciate any help. But everyone should understand that these are not charitable contributions that Ukraine should ask for or remind of. These are not noble gestures for which Ukraine should bow low. This is your contribution to the security of Europe and the world. Where Ukraine has been a reliable shield for 8 years, and for 8 years it has been rebuffing one of the world's biggest armies, which stands along our borders, not the borders of the EU. Tomorrow in Ukraine is the day." This was Saturday, and he talks about, "Tomorrow is the day of heroes of the Heavenly Hundred. 8 years ago, Ukrainians made their choice, and many gave their lives for that choice." So if Vladimir Putin is going to talk about, well, what's the voice of the people? What do the people want? Well, nobody asked them back in the early 20th century, 1900s, and now we're going to do the same thing Lenin did. It's very interesting. 8 years later, should Ukraine constantly call for recognition of the European perspective? Question. "Since 2014, Russia has been convincing that we have chosen the wrong path, that no one is waiting for us in Europe." Basically stoking, Ukraine, they made the wrong decision, NATO. And that's exactly what he says in this speech. Oh, they made a mistake when they made Ukraine. They shouldn't have done it. Nobody really wants it. Europe doesn't care about it. And that's partially been true because they haven't been paying. And that's what Trump dealt with NATO, of getting Germany and other countries to pay their portion of the agreements that they agreed to pay. And he goes, "Shouldn't Europe constantly say and prove by action that this is not true?" Basically rebuffing what Putin's saying. "Shouldn't the EU say today that its citizens are positive about Ukraine's ascension to the Union?" Basically joining NATO, which is what Russia is trying to prevent right now. "Why do we avoid these questions?" Very true. Nobody wants to answer these questions. "Doesn't Ukraine deserve a direct and honest answer? Ukraine has received security guarantees for abandoning the world's third nuclear capability, third largest. We don't have that weapon. We also have no security. We also do not have part of the territory of our state that is larger in area than Switzerland, the Netherlands, and Belgium. And most importantly, we don't have millions of our citizens. We don't have all of this. Therefore, we have something, the right to demand a shift from a policy of appeasement to ensuring security and peace guarantees. And since 2014, Ukraine has tried three times to convene consultations with the guarantor states of the Budapest Memorandum." This is the only point that a world leader is pulling this out, is to get people to agree to the covenant, to stand up for the covenant memorandum that they signed in 1994. "Three times without success. Today, Ukraine will do it for the fourth time. I, as president, will do this for the first time, but both Ukraine and I are doing this for the last time." And very powerful, powerful statement there of really calling out what is happening. And then he goes on to finish a portion of his speech saying, "I am initiating consultations in the framework of the Budapest Memorandum. The Minister of Foreign Affairs was commissioned to convene them. If they do not happen again, or their results do not guarantee security for our country, Ukraine will have every right to believe that the Budapest Memorandum is not working and all package decisions of 1994 are in doubt." Basically, knowing that they're going to be alone, and if you're not going to stand up to the covenant agreement that you stood for, we're going to go at this alone. He gave reassurances this week that Ukraine will do everything possible to do this diplomatically. Even there's video of Putin pretty much strong arming a lot of the diplomats in Russia to agree that these regions in Ukraine are independent and that Russia votes to unanimously consider them to be independent. and live on television. He's like, "You agree to this? Yes, you agree." And it's very intimidating to sit there and say no for these world leaders. But also, other world leaders are saying, "Russia, hey, let's calm down on this." And even China, which we talked about yesterday, a lot of how far Russia will go will depend upon its support from China as you see sanctions coming forward. And there's an AP report that says China, a traditional ally of Russia, sounded a cautious note calling for restraint and a diplomatic solution to the crisis. So that's kind of interesting here. You're seeing some rebuff from even allies. Now, will Putin just all out go for it? He's claiming that this is what the people of Russia want. They want to take back their country, et cetera, et cetera. So we're seeing a lot of things play out in the darkness of this, of bringing up the Bolshevik communist revolution, in Russia, as they try to go back to this. So we want to, in all of this, we want to continue to pray and intercede for the Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia on Ukraine, and pray that they stand up for the covenant agreement that we signed to support Ukraine in this season, and for the other world leaders to stand up as well. They signed a covenant agreement with this nation. They're not going to stand up and back for it. It would be a sad state of affairs, knowing what Russia has done in its past, knowing what Lenin did during the Bolshevik Revolution, starving his people, what Stalin did of killing millions of people during the USSR, probably unknown counts of numbers that we'll never know, only the Lord knows. And yet they're saying they want to go back to that. Even our U.S. president said the same thing that happened in Afghanistan of dissidents for Russia, even the Taliban then, who are now no longer with us because we just completely abandoned, is if Russia comes into Ukraine, that same thing will happen. Well, if you know these things, then let's do something about it now. Not just we're going to keep doing the same thing we've been doing before and hoping that it works. Oh, wait, that hasn't worked. And look, said it before, is there's obviously information for the Biden administration to project these warnings. But when you give timelines and you cry wolf, it's hard to sit here and say, okay, you were wrong before. Making projections is very hard. You can keep that stuff behind closed doors, but why are you putting it out there? It is what's very alarming. And then you see the just complete, everybody's on a different page. Vice President is saying something different than Biden. Biden is saying something different than Jake Sullivan. Jake Sullivan is saying something different than Anthony Blinken. I mean, it just goes all, everybody's all over the place. They're not unified. They're not working together as one for not only the sovereignty and peace of our nation, but also for Ukraine, to be able to have their decision, because God has a destiny for that nation. There's a reason the Lord allowed for the corruption to be exposed in Ukraine and for the Ukrainian people themselves to stand up and have this, their own sovereignty. And there's Chuck Pierce talked about it. There's prophetic that we can stand, fight against this. There may possibly be war. There may not. But at the end of the day, this is not done. This is not a set in stone. Well, Russia's just, or Ukraine's gone, and they're just got to give over to Russia, and then you just got to allow Russia to come forward. What's different between this and what happened in 1938 in Munich with Czechoslovakia, which is Putin is making the same argument that Hitler made of, well, these are Russian people. They speak Russian. This is our Russian land. We need to take it back. Same argument Hitler made about Czechoslovakia with the Sudetenland is what's different is that Ukraine's here. Ukraine has a voice standing up as we're in the decade of the mouth. President Zelensky is standing up and saying, we are going to stand up for our freedom and for our sovereignty now and in the days ahead, despite what the rest of the world does. And Turkey, who's an ally of both Russia and neighbors above Russia and close allies, close neighbors, I should say, of Russia and Ukraine, they're in the middle of this. They're trying to talk Russia down from this because this will affect the region and the world as energy prices and everything goes into disputes. And there's arguments about why Biden and the administration are doing this to raise gas prices, et cetera. Possibly not. But we want to continue to pray for the Biden administration to have the wisdom and fear of the Lord, because at the end of the day, they're our leaders, and we should pray that they make decisions for the prosperity of this nation, and stand for the agreements and the covenants that we've made as well, now and in the days ahead. And then shortly, I want to briefly mention what's happening in Canada, as we learned yesterday that the Canadian House of Commons passes the government's emergency action motion along party lines after the blockades are lifted, after the truckers have moved on because of the arrests and everything that's going on, complete overreach. And there are concerns about what's going forward. But what's troublesome is the reasoning of what Trudeau said about before this vote went forward. He said, anyone who votes no tonight before the vote is doing anything other than indicating that they don't trust government to make incredibly momentous and important decisions at a very difficult time. That's the purpose. It is these choices that you're trying to force on people via the mandates is the fact showing that you don't trust the government. And you don't have – like this is – as U.S. Supreme Court showed, look, this is a problem for everyone. You can't sit here and say, and I understand it's difference between Canada and the U.S., but it's the basic underlying argument is that government can't make these decisions for everybody, because government can't assume that risk for everybody. Only the individual can assume that risk for themselves. And so I point this out to show how far the powers that be are willing to go. Saying common similar things they're doing with the January 6th commission of just unconstitutionally going after Americans for being involved, even if they were in Washington, D.C., but nowhere near the Capitol, they're going after them, doxing them, causing their life problems. It's very alarming. And for Canadians, we stand, we support, we pray for their safety and their provision in the days ahead. But also, is the Biden administration now has extended the early March 2020 U.S. national emergency order due to COVID, given an undetermined time. You can read the letter here that he sends to Congress, letting Congress know that they followed proper procedure to the Federal Register, letting the Federal Register know that they're going to extend it till when? Who knows? So it's not, they have 90 days after that to extend it. But how long? When is it going to end? When is the emergency order going to end? Just like within Canada, when is it going to end? They're claiming that because 900,000 people have died, even though not looking at a lot of the data about around that, of what's happening, what's caused this, is it really there's a lot of disputes about all that. And so knowing this is happening here in the U.S., similar to Canada, and also something to be very aware of, but it's very hypocritical. So the CDC, if you saw the New York Times article from this weekend, has openly admitted that they don't want to the public drawing conclusions from data, saying that they don't have accurate ways of looking at the data. It's insufficient right now. But if you remember back to, I don't know, a year ago, people were looking at the CDC data and drawing conclusions based upon what the data says. The data says what it says. You can't manipulate that. The CDC might be trying to do that by hiding it, but not letting, and this is the problem with the FDA's having, of why their court order is going after them, saying you need to release this information based upon a Freedom of Information Act request. And they tried to delay it, saying, oh, we need time. We have to release this other stuff. We have to redact stuff because of national security measures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The American people have a right to know, and the CDC saying this. Hopefully this goes to court. Hopefully this should be another golden court case. They're not ready to release it's not ready for prime time. Look, that's not their decision. What are you hiding? What is really going on with this data, especially if you're going to continue to push forward and extend this national emergency over COVID. So I point this out to sit here and say is now is a time to, even as this stuff continues to extend possibly into the fall, even though certain states' governors are pulling back their orders, it is a time to continue to pray for the awakening and the revival. The only thing that will end these tyrannical government overreaches is if people are awakened, not only in their mind, but in their souls, to what is going on, that the only way out of any of these crises that they are in individually and as a nation is through the wisdom and fear of the Lord and revelation from the Lord, to get back to being a nation that is a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nation. And in order to do that, we have to get healed first as a nation. And those in the enemy's camp need to be healed, delivered, and saved. Breaking habits of addiction, breaking habits of depression, alcoholism in their lives, over their regions, standing up against forces of evil in the regions that they're placed in, so that we can reach not only those who aren't in relationship with the Lord, but for other nations as well, to create the sovereignty of other nations like Ukraine, to stand up to world powers, small, in the face of it, the small little Ukraine compared to Russia, is standing up, being bold, being the voice in the decade of the voice for freedom for the Ukrainian people, despite backpedaling from NATO, European allies, and America and this administration. So thank you all for joining with me this morning. I know it's a little hot and heavy. Wanted to break down all the news that happened over the night. Let's continue to pray for this issue. But and look, I know there's a lot of pundits out there who are saying, we don't need to worry about Ukraine. We need to focus on Canada. We can walk and chew gum at the same time, okay? Let's be mature about this. We can pray for both. We can stand for both. We can be aware of both. And we're going to continue here to continue to pray for the office of the president in these disputes and disputes throughout the rest of the nation. So blessings, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.